Welcome to the Bringing Rural Back podcast, where we help you live a more prepared and sustainable life today so that you can have a better tomorrow, no matter what. And I actually mean that. This is your host, Greg Carter, and this is going to be episode number 25. The topic for today's show is the importance of keeping your word. But before we get to that, let's do our chores, shall we? I'd like to remind you of the Rural Roundtable. The Rural Roundtable is a group of experts that are ready to answer your questions ranging anywhere from animal husbandry to soap making and everything in between. We've got somebody that can talk about essential oils, off-grid living, preparedness, homesteading for the beginner, and so much more. So if you have any questions in those areas, send your question to theruraleconomist@gmail.com, and we'll get it to the appropriate expert, and we'll have an answer in an upcoming episode. Also, once you get done listening, if you enjoyed this, I would like to encourage you to share it. I would like to encourage you to subscribe to the feed. It doesn't matter if it's on Stitcher, iTunes, and I actually found it on another service called Podchart, I think it was. It's kind of interesting. I didn't know it was there. I'm glad to be there. If you enjoy the show, please give us a rating, give us a share, help people learn about us, and that would help us a ton. And I appreciate it. So, with that out of the way, let's talk about the importance of keeping your word. You know, there was a time, not very long ago actually, where a man's word was his bond. Homes and businesses and all kinds of things were built on simply a word and a handshake. Sad to say, those days aren't here anymore. We've gotten to the point where even when you have contracts, you got people that'll do everything they can in order to get out of the contract. That's why we have court systems and attorneys and all of that stuff. We've gotten to the point now where lying to somebody is just common course. Didn't used to always be so. I know right off the bat that everybody tells the occasional white little lie. But is there really such a thing as a white lie? I mean, maybe if it's saving somebody's feelings. But other than that, is there really such a thing as a white lie? Now, my wife will tell you, if you've got to ask her, I stink at lying. Even if it's something stupid, I can't do it. And you know what? A lot of people are the same way. Human beings, unless there's something wrong in their head, are programmed, they're created to tell the truth. So when you have somebody that's really skilled at lying, something's not quite right. And the problem is that the people who are willing to lie the most, unless it's something absolutely ridiculous, seem to be the ones who get ahead in this world. Our society has made it such where it's okay to bend the truth. It's okay to mislead people. Now, everybody knows somebody. I know somebody in particular, I'm not going to call his name, that he will lie about everything. And you can't back him into a corner. The lie just keeps getting more and more and more elaborate with every question that you ask him. It doesn't matter even if you present him with the truth. He's going to figure out a way to try to sidestep it. Now, the problem with that is that it doesn't take long before everybody who's around this individual realizes that that's the kind of person they are. And they become the subject of ridicule, especially when it's something absolutely outlandish. But then you take a step back and you look at the way our society is being run, and you realize that lying or misrepresentation has become the norm. Corporations lie to us all the time. Most of their marketing is lies. They are not going to tell you the truth. I mean, think about it. The two least trusted people in general are salesmen and politicians. Not all salesmen, okay? You know, but when I went to college, there was a book that was required reading. It was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And he talks about sales, Stephen R. Covey. And he talks about how that a honorable salesperson listens to understand a customer's problem and then tries to present a solution. That's an honorable salesperson. But then you have the traditional used car salesman that's going to lie and tell you anything under the sun just to get you to buy and then get you out of the door because they realize that once you're gone, they don't have to mess with it anymore. And it's not just used car salesmen anymore. It's gotten to the point where it's retail sales, it's major corporations, it's service industries. All of these people have gotten to the point where they just, it's not a big deal, lie, get them in here, and then we'll jack up the price, and what else can they do? I mean, it's not a big deal. See, it only works for seedy used car salesmen and big corporations. Let me explain. All right, I live in a fairly small community, and say that I built a business selling tomatoes. And for some reason, don't know why, for some reason I'm the only one in the area that can grow these big, beautiful, flavor-filled tomatoes. So everybody in the community wants to buy Greg's tomatoes. Yahoo! Okay? All right. So I've got my production model up, and we're going, just for the sake of argument, we start off as a one-person operation, all right? And I agree with so many people that I'm going to sell them 5 pounds of tomatoes a week, and somehow or another, I've managed to be able to do it all year long, okay? Just for example, all right? As long as I'm honorable, everybody loves my tomatoes, everybody loves me. I've given them a price. I honor that price for 5 pounds of tomatoes. Well, now what happens if all of a sudden I get greedy? I've already maximized my production. My market share is fully realized. So how am I going to increase my profits when I've maximized my production and I've maximized my market share? Okay, now, just in case you don't know what market share is. Market share is the percentage of the possible customers to which a company sells. Okay? All right. So I sell to everybody in the community, and they got to drive 45 miles to be able to buy a tomato that's anywhere a third as good as the ones that I produce. And I sell them to everybody for a set price. Okay? Well, my price is fair. If I go up any, then, you know, people are going to stop buying. So that's not going to help me maximize my profit. There's a balance point there. Okay? It's kind of like a bell shape. You know, and it's going to sound weird, but when you're selling a book or a tomato or training course or whatever, you can price it too cheap. If you price something too cheap, people are not going to buy it because they don't value it. If you don't value it enough to charge a fair price, then why would somebody else value it enough to pay it? Okay? There are some exceptions, but not a lot. All right? So your best point is actually, there's a point at the top. And I wish you could see this because I talk with my hands. There's a point at the top where you have the most amount of sales, and you would think that that would be the most amount of profit. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Normally, right past that peak, when you start to lose just a few customers, is where your profit's maximized, And that's where you kind of want to stay if you can. Okay? All right. Well, I'm at the drop-off point. If I raise my prices any more, then my income will go down, even though I'm charging more per unit. Okay? I've maxed it out. So, how am I going to make more profits? I know what I'll do. Instead of selling them 5 pounds for the set price, I'm just going to give them 4 3/4 pounds, call it 5 pounds, and charge them the same price. That enables me to take the leftover fruits of my labor, literally and figuratively, and turn it into, I don't know, Greg's ketchup. Okay? So I've got an additional product that I can sell. All right. Well, now we could rock on for a good little while and nobody ever noticed that 1/4 pound difference. Well, I also sell to a little diner. Everybody likes to eat at the diner. There's only one diner in town. And I sell them 20 pounds of tomatoes a week. Well, I decide I'm getting real greedy. I decide that I'm going to do the same thing to them. So when they come to get their 20 pounds, I give them 17.5 pounds. Now, I'm just doing the math off the top of my head, but I think the ratio is going to be about right. Okay? So they take their tomatoes, they go to the store, and maybe I get away with it for a week or two. But then the owner decides to weigh them. And he comes back to me and goes, "Hey man, you jipped me 2.5 pounds. Okay? Well, I'm so sorry. And then I give them the 2.5 pounds and I do it right for a couple of weeks till they get lax in weighing them every single week. And then I start doing it again. Well, the owner weighs them again and then he goes, he didn't say anything. Just checking. And then I've done that to him 3 weeks in a row and he starts telling people, "Hey man, he's ripping folks off. He's cheating everybody by a percentage of what they're supposed to get." Some people are going to ignore it. Some people are going to weigh their tomatoes. Okay? And once the people start talking, then my business can be destroyed by my dishonesty. That's just the truth. Because it's a small microcosm. Okay? If you're, and this applies to any small community-based business. If you're mowing yards, doing yard work, lawn work in your community to make money, if you don't do what you say, then eventually the word's going to get out that you charge more for stuff that you don't do, and people are going to get a negative image of you, and then all of a sudden your business goes bye-bye. Somebody will step in to fill the niche. So the only time that this model doesn't apply is when you're a major corporation. If you will just look at the advertising and the way these major corporations treat people, it's pitiful. Because they don't give a crap about you. They don't give their crap about their employees. They don't care about anything but that almighty dollar. Okay? Now, let's go back to the small tomato business. All right? Well, I'm serving my community. I'm at full market share. I'm at full production. Okay? I'm working. I've gotten to the point where I hire my son to come help me. And he does some sales, and he does some deliveries, and he helps in the garden and everything like that. Okay? Well, maybe, I don't know, let's just pick something. Oh, the daddy of a girl he favors, kind of taking a shining to, comes up and wants to buy some extra tomatoes. So he goes, "Well, I tell you what." He said, I'll sell you 10 pounds of tomatoes for the price of 7. Okay? That's causing me to lose money. But he, as my representative, in order to keep goodwill in the community, I'm going to honor what he says because he's my representative. I'm going to get on to him. I'm going to tell him, no, we can't do that. You know, we may be able to do a volume price at some point, but that's just, that's cutting their nose off to spite their face. Okay? Now, with a major corporation, that doesn't mean crap. Just because an employee tells you something doesn't mean anything. All right? Now, why am I on such a rant? Well, our cellular provider, we've been having a fight with them. And we started off with a small regional company. Loved the small regional company. Service was good. Internet was slow, but we had unlimited internet. Bill was low. Good times all the way around. Well, one of these major mega companies, you know, one of the big two, swoops in and buys up our small regional company. Now, I'm not blaming the owners of the regional company. They had to do what was right for them. All right? Well, this major corporation said that, oh, don't worry, you'll be able to keep your plan and keep your price structure, and everything will be great. Great. Okay. So, what happens a lot of times is after a period of time, phones wear out. Just happens. Hate it, but it happens. All right. So, we call their customer service line. Oh, yeah, you can get new phones and you can keep your own plan. All you got to do is this, this, and this. Great, let's do it. So, we go on, we order new phones, keeping our plan, all of this, okay? Well, so, or we start shopping for phones is what happened. So, we call back again. We called three times. And every one of them told us, you can keep your plan. In fact, two of them told us, do not change your plan. Okay? We got a really good plan. So, we didn't. We followed their advice. Well, we get our new phones in. And boy, they're nice. Oh, they're so pretty. They got so much function. All this good garbage. Well, only one problem. The data doesn't work at all. So, we call the company. I'm going to try to make this short. I know this is boring as crap. We call the company, tell them what's going on. They put in a little work order, and they said, oh, we'll get it straightened out. Don't you worry at all. Well, they come back and say, no, we're not going to straighten it out. I said, yeah, you are. I said, because your representative said that we could keep everything the way it was. All we had to do is do this to get new phones. No, you can't. So, in order to get anything, you've got to change plans. We don't support unlimited data at all anymore, and your phones doesn't work on the current network and all like that. I said, yeah, they did. They worked prior to us getting the other phone. Well, they're not on the same network. I said, well, how the devil do they work? Okay. Well, anyway, they refused to do anything. But if we wanted to change it over, we were going to see a minimum of $100 per month increase in our bill. And the plan that the dude really wanted to put us on was going to double our bill. I've got a recording. I thought about putting it in here, but I don't think I will. All right. So this company, even though we had three employees tell us, yes, we can keep this, yes, we can do that, they said, screw our employees, screw you, we want our money, we're going to get our money, or you're just going to have to do without. Well, guess what? I'm doing without. I'm not going to do it. I'm so stinking stubborn and just, all right. Now, let's bring it a little further. I didn't mean to drone on that so long. We've gotten to the point where we expect to be lied to. We really do. You know, right now we're in the middle of the primaries for the presidential election. And the thing about it is if everybody would be honest with themselves, every one of them blame politicians are lying to us. It's a running joke. Everybody knows that politicians lie. And it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're talking about. It doesn't matter if you're talking about a Democrat or Republican. Every blame one of them lies. I do find it interesting that this is the first time since I've been, that I can remember, that the two front runners for the Republican Party, neither one of them are a politician. You got Trump and you got Carson. One's a businessman, one's a neurosurgeon. Okay? Now, that's freaking a lot of people out because, you know, Trump, he's not really a nice guy. He's a good businessman. He's lost his tail a time or two, but he's always come back with a vengeance. So a lot of people see that as a very positive thing. Carson, very honest man, seems to be. Very soft-spoken. Saying a lot of things that resonate with a lot of people. And I find it interesting that the politicians are losing out to the non-politicians for the first time in my memory. Now, I haven't checked the standings in the last little bit, but that's the way it's been for quite some time. And I'm sure that'll change. I'm sure one of the flipping politicians will be in there. But we expect them to lie. We expect corporations to lie to us. What's happened to us? What's happened to the raw grit that says, you know what? When a man gives his word or a woman gives their word, even if it hurts them, they will keep their word. Yes, I know I'm going to take a bath on this situation, but I gave you my word and I mean it. And next time it won't be like this, but I gave you my word and I'm going to stand by it. Doesn't happen a whole lot anymore. I mean, the Affordable Care Act. Oh, you can keep your plan? No, you can't. The Affordable Care Act. The name's a dang lie. Ever since it's been passed, my insurance has gone up every single year for less coverage. Okay? Now, I will say that I think that it might be interesting, this presidential election, if Trump or Carson receive the nomination for the Republican Party, which I really don't think it will happen. Trump might, Carson won't, but I think the Republican hierarchy is going to try to figure out a way to wrestle it away from either one of them. But if either one of them gets the nomination, and if Bernie Sanders gets the nomination for the Democratic Party, for the first time in a very long time, we'll have two honest people running for president. I don't know if the American people can stand for that. Okay? I don't care if you disagree with Bernie Sanders or not. He's the only honest one on the Democratic side. He's a socialist. He'll admit it. Okay? So, what is this rant all about? If we want to turn this country around, then we've got to start being honest in all of our dealings and requiring everybody we deal with to be honest. I don't like the court system. I don't like them at all. I think we ought to be able to do away with them. But right now we can't. So, how do we do it? How do we go about it? You know, I attend a little church. If you've listened for very not long, you know that I'm a Christian, and I don't try to shove it down anybody's throat, but I'm honest about it. And they've got the sets of books all the way back to the 1800s. Where when neighbor had a problem with neighbor, they'd bring it before the church body. And the church body would try to come up with a mutually agreeable solution. Okay? Now, that's actually biblical. Kind of. And I hope that the other steps were made. The Bible says that if you have anything against your brother, or if your brother has offended you, you go to your brother, your friend, your neighbor, and you tell them what's going on. Go, hey, we got a problem. I want to try to fix it. If they don't fix it, you bring a witness with you. Okay? And you try to do it again. If that doesn't work, then you bring them up before the church. Okay? Now, even if you're not religious, how can we apply this? All right? Well, first part's easy. Second part's easy. What about the third part? Okay? So, I've got a problem with a guy that's letting his dogs kill my chickens. Okay? I don't want to shoot the dog. I don't think I should have to shoot the dog. The man should keep his dog up, should figure out a way to rectify the situation. So I go to him and I go, hey man, please, 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 please keep up your dog. I don't want to hurt your dog. But dog's killing my chickens, and my chickens give me eggs and give me meat and give me feathers and all of this stuff. So they're an investment to me. They're important to me. Okay? He doesn't do anything. So I bring a witness and we go through it again. Well, what's the next solution? We try to get somebody who's a third party to come up with a mutually beneficial solution. We get somebody that both of us kind of like, we have respect for, but they really don't care one of us over the other. You know, they're just mutually favorable. Let them try to figure it out. Now, see, in a contract, that's called non-binding arbitration. That's a good thing. Like it. Okay? So, you can go to non-binding arbitration. Give the, you know, the arbitrator, I don't know, whatever. Both sides give the arbitrator some money. And then he tries to come up with a solution where both people win, or both people, you know, you come up with a compromise. If that doesn't work, then we move into binding arbitration. We can actually take it to a professional arbitrator. Now, see, the non-binding arbitration can just be Joe from down the road. The binding arbitration has to be somebody that's trained. All right? If that still doesn't work, then you go to court. Court should be a last resort, not a first destination. And see, the whole thing about it is we could avoid the whole blame thing if every one of us would be honorable and honest. I want you, that's something that I try to live my life by. And you should try to, too. Because if you're going to try to live a more sustainable and a more prepared life, then part of that may be you running a business. Or working for somebody who's running a business who's trying to do the same thing. You know, we work together. Without that level of honesty, then we've severed our ability and we've severed our goodwill. We can't deal with a community the way we should be able to because we've not allowed ourselves to show that we're worthy of respect. I believe that a company should earn your business. It shouldn't be given by default. I believe that a politician should earn your vote. It should not be given by default. The last time that I voted in a presidential primary, I voted for Ron Paul. Sure did. Now, I know he claimed he was a Republican, but by golly, he actually believed in liberty. Let me tell you something. Liberty is not about controlling somebody else. It's about being honest and going, you know what? As long as you're not messing with anybody else, I'm okay with it. So, I would like to encourage everybody, set your own moral standards, but realize that everybody will judge you based on the standard that you set. If you enjoyed this, leave me a comment. Send me an email. Tell me what's going on. Got some ideas for a podcast? Let me know those too. I'm developing a list. Man, my list is growing good. I can't wait. The new year is going to be full of a lot of exciting things. We're rolling up on Christmas. If you enjoyed it, please give it a share. And step by step, we're bringing rural back. Bye.